Move 20! Move 20!
It's Intentional Grounding, Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times Adam Johns.
And welcome into episode 17 of Intentional Grounding. We're back in our lovely Hallis Hall closet. And I'm not kidding, we literally record in a closet when we do it here at Hallis Hall. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. That's the best place to submit questions for the podcast. Find us at WGNradio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. We're on iTunes. Just search Intentional Grounding and subscribe to the podcast there. And on SoundCloud at SoundCloud.com/WGN Radio Sports. Our producer is Mike Jacobson. And Adam, some big news today at Hallis Hall is the Bears took, or at least opened up, the 21-day practice window for Kevin White. It was the last day they could do it. So now he has 3 weeks to practice with the team, and then they decide whether or not they want to activate him to the 53-man roster, shut him down for the entire year.
I mean, he didn't do too much. I mean, let's be honest. The open media period, which is all we have to watch what the Bears do in the practice fields here at Hallis Hall, was short to begin with. And then Kevin White's work with the team, as far as what we could see, was short. He stretched with the team. That was it. And then he left with trainers and headed indoors to the Walter Payton Center, where I assume His work was a bit more brisk, so we'll see. I mean, let's be honest. There is still a very good chance he does not play this year, and I think that's probably the wise decision almost for Ryan Pace to make. But we didn't see much today from Kevin White.
He talked to the media at his locker after practice, and here is what he said in its entirety.
No, you didn't do much today, but feel good to be back out there with your teammates?
Oh, yeah. Feel real good. Haven't been out there since like June, so, well, August, but good to be back. Just progressing and take it day by day, but definitely was a good feeling being out there with those guys.
Where are you at with your rehab? I mean, does it feel like everything's back to normal?
Not back to normal, not just yet, but it's definitely better than it was 2 weeks ago and than it was last week, so it's getting stronger. I'm getting more comfortable with it, so I guess that's all I can ask for.
What do you hope to accomplish over these 3 weeks that they will really take a look at
you? Get a lot of my strength back in my quad. Just get comfortable with running routes again. Just being back out there, getting accustomed back to the game. Really just to be back playing with my guys.
Right now, do you think there's any chance of you returning this season at all?
I hope so. Yeah, there's a chance. Not closing the doors on anything. Just got to be smart with it. And if I'm feeling good and I'm ready to go, then I guess we'll have to see.
Kevin, are you in any pain?
A little bit. A little discomfort here and there. But it's not like excruciating pain like how it used to be.
Do you have to caution yourself to not ramp it up to full speed too soon? I know you probably really want to, but do you have to be? Is it hard to be extra cautious like that?
A little bit, yeah. Don't want to do something that'll set me back, but don't want to, you know, just not do anything at all and not progress. So a little bit of both.
How tough has it been watching?
Real tough. Definitely like the hardest thing I have to go through this far, just because it's my first season missing due to injury.
Kevin, how mindful do you have to be of your strides and making sure that either you're not developing any bad habits or bad muscle memory as you try to maintain and get back to what it was before?
Trainers and strength staff is working with me a lot. I'm just getting my mechanics back, but it's a little off, but not too far.
Anything else? How much of a relief was it to not to be placed on IR where you know that for sure your season was over?
It was a big relief just because there's a chance that I can come back and be out there helping us get some victory.
What's the longest you've ever missed another injury before this?
2 weeks. So, big difference.
Just because you're not running full speed, are you?
I would like to say I'm running somewhere around that, but myself compared to how I used to run now.
Do you have a sense of how realistic it is to be active this season, or are you just taking things day by day?
Taking it day by day. I would like for it to happen. If it don't happen, then got to roll with the punches.
Yeah, how did the setback in the summer affect the way you guys are handling this now so that that doesn't happen again?
Well, if we'd have known this would have happened, we'd have got the surgery when we first knew about it. But there was a chance that it can heal, so we took our shot and missed.
Do you feel the rod in there at all, or is it a different feeling? Or?
No, more of the screws. Mm-hmm. They get to me more than anything, but the rod is it's fine.
Thanks, Kevin. All right, Adam, so what were the big things that you took out of what Kevin White had to say today?
Well, one, it must be awful to have screws and a rod inserted into your leg. That doesn't sound nice. I've played football. I've had football injuries before. I've had a broken collarbone. But to have that type of surgery, like, it doesn't sound good. You know, it makes you cringe. So imagine going through it. You know, he used the word excruciating at one point to describe his pain level, and it's not good, you know, for your first round pick. So that said, I think he's always a positive kid. He's got a real positive outlook on how he will view his life and his return. It's not closing the door. That's what he said. But my biggest takeaway, look, he's a long way off, long, long way off. Even 3 weeks to me is long, because you're looking at, what, the 14th week of the season. You don't know what the Bears are going to be. Be safe with Kevin White. That's the message.
Yeah, and I clarify when we were done talking with him that it's the screws that's causing that discomfort that he talked about. And if you listen to closely what he said, he talked about how he needs to build up his quad strength again, and he's not running at the level that he used to. And on top of that, his conditioning. I mean, that's not only just getting conditioning back to a regular level, but also we hear this every year during training camp and the preseason, it's getting up to football speed when it comes to conditioning. So that is a lot to get done in 3 weeks. Now, if the Bears win their next three games and they're in this thing and they have a realistic shot at the playoffs, I do wonder if maybe they activate him, if they think he could help at all, because you always make him inactive on Sundays. I mean, you have some options here, and you're talking about the last three games of the year then at that point. I asked John Fox if that would play any role in that decision. He said no, predictably. And what I'm talking about is your record, your playoff chances. He said no, but I got to imagine that that's somewhere in the equation.
I'm not sure what – say he does come back week 14, week 15, whatever. What can you expect from him? Look, I know he's an elite talent, right? He's a top 10 draft pick. He's a game changer. He's that breakaway threat, that downfield threat the Bears don't really have. Defenses will look for him, but still, watching and learning on film and in notebooks and in iPads nowadays isn't the same as game action. Not even regular season action, preseason action. He doesn't have it. He hasn't been on the field running at full speed with his teammates, catching passes and all this stuff since the off-season program. Really, rookie minicamp. That's a long time ago. And it's not from Jay Cutler. I mean, I can't remember. Was it Shane Carden who he was catching passes from? Yeah, it's not exactly catching balls from Jay Cutler.
Yeah, he really hasn't been out of practice since OTAs when he first suffered the injury. I mean, because in training camp, he came out for a day, did work, and then the second day he suffered a setback. So, and I think that that does matter, how easily he suffered a setback. And so, look, chances are, I agree, we're probably not going to see Kevin White this year. But he said he's feeling better from last week, definitely feeling a lot better from 2 weeks ago. You'll see how this progresses, see where the Bears stand, and how can he help? I don't know that the production would be high, but you've seen the wide receivers that are out there when Alshon Jeffrey's not playing and they don't have Eddie Royal and he doesn't seem like he's coming back anytime soon. Putting a guy out there like Kevin White, you can get the ball to, maybe create some space and see what he can do. You could do a lot worse.
Right. If you get okay, that's a good point. If you have – he would dictate some coverages his way. You get maybe one-on-one matchup, let him, you know, a simple goal route against a cornerback who he may be bigger than. I see that. But again, in terms of, I mean, Gase's offense can be a bit complicated. He's got to learn how to block I mean, with these wide receiver screens and all these things they do on the outside so many different ways. But, yeah, maybe if certain situations dictate going deep to him, I could see where his value would be maybe quite immense. But, again, look, we need to see him in some live practices before we even start making those steps and those predictions.
Yeah, and like you said, he stretched today and then he quickly went inside to the Walter Payton Center and didn't do anything. So really today was more of a formality to give yourself an extra 21 days to make a decision on him. That's really all it was today, but it was good to hear from Kevin White, and that's the latest regarding the Bears' first-round draft pick. Now, let's dive into this quick recap from Sunday against the Broncos, and we are going to shorten this because here at Hallis Hall, it's already all about the Packers game. The short week, quick turnaround, they had to flush that game, and they barely even looked at film review from it. But let's talk about it a little bit, and honestly, we're going to skip player of the game, worst player. I thought Tracy Porter played well, and let's see, who did I have? Patrick Omome struggled. Those were sort of the guys that struggled. But what was the biggest answer you received from that game against the Broncos?
Today, from Adam Gase, the way – look, the Bears were in this game against a superior opponent, and they've been in every single game against various superior opponents, whether it's the Vikings, Cardinals, or the Packers in week one. But to hear Gase be not emotional but upset over the execution of the two-point attempt, and that was such a key moment of the game. And, you know, they've ran it successfully before in San Diego. Look, we've gone over this play so many times, especially you and I, Adam, you know, video comparing, so many different things here. But to hear Gase just bemoan the whole situation because of how many times they practice it and how they've executed it well in practice, how it worked a couple weeks in San Diego, I think that's my biggest takeaway because they were so close. And they felt like they could tie the game with that play. And it just didn't work at that moment. So I guess my takeaway is that, yes, they're close to being a good team. And plays like that continue to hold them back.
Yeah, and I think that's why you really look at this and you go, they're a year away from really having a chance to compete. And probably not even at that point competing for a Super Bowl, but competing to get in the playoffs. I mean, because you're right, they're in games, they're in all their games lately, and three of them have gone their way in terms of these close games. Six out of the last seven games have been very close. They've lost three of those games by less than 3 points on average, and then they won three of those games. So it's a matter of staying in these types of games. You got another one Thursday against the Packers here. But you look at that two-point conversion, and while Adam Gase didn't call out Hronas Grasu, the center, he was clearly upset about the fact that they had a communication issue on that play and that it wasn't executed properly. And that the biggest problem on that play, and there's no question about it at this point from confirming what I suspected after the game and what I wrote about, which was that Hronas Grasu didn't get the check. He dropped back to pass block. And that's a problem when you're running up the middle in that situation. And that's tough. Gase was not happy. You could tell. He's not happy about it. It's a rookie mistake. It's something you got to learn from. I still think Grasu has shown some potential. And it kind of sucks because, you know, he didn't play three games in a row. And he didn't play when the Bears ran that exact same play in the exact same situation against the Chargers 2 weeks ago. It was Matt Slauson who was at center. So it's unfortunate it happened. The Bears lost the game instead of going to overtime. But I guess you just learn from it and quickly move on to the Packers.
You know, in the whole that whole game in terms of, you know, how it played out, whether it was John Fox's decision, you know, to go for it and fourth down, and I mean, there's a lot of different moments you can point to other than Grasu's struggles. You know, speaking of concerns going forward, I mean, the Bears' defense, which was so good against Todd Gurley, couldn't stop Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson. So, yes, we're going to focus so much on that one play because it was such a – I mean, it was in the final 30 seconds, right? It's such an obvious play to focus on. But there were other instances in that game where things got away from the Bears.
All right, let's move on and hit our favorite segment of the week. What does the Fox say?
They were short some guys. We were short some guys. That's the National Football League. What the Fox say?
What the Fox say? All right, and that was from John Fox after the game on Sunday. That was an interesting press conference. He doesn't say much usually, but he was more evasive than ever, I felt like. He got a, you know, to be asked about Jay Cutler's interceptions, we don't have time to talk about it. It's like, when are you supposed to talk about it? It's a press conference. And then he got asked about his defense, and he said he didn't understand the question. So I found that a very interesting press conference after the game, and I imagine that he was just pretty upset about losing to his former team.
And the thing is, it carried over into Monday, which was a very brief press conference where there was no answers given. Look, I get it. This is going to be John Fox. He's keeping this team competitive. The team's believing in him. Fans, the listeners here don't want to hear about our grievances with John Fox. I mean, every now and then he'll surprise you with some answers, like today at Halisall, where he went into detail about Julius Peppers, one of his former players with the Panthers. So every now and then he'll give you some good substance. But, I just look back to when Mark Trestman started, and his press conferences would go like 30 minutes, and he would go into detail about all sorts of things. Just his introduction was longer than a John Fox entire press conference. So I think Bears fans, listeners, whoever you are, I think are a little bit more happy with the path, the course that this team has taken under John Fox. Media be damned in this situation.
No, it's a good point, because I remember when Trestman screwed up that whole situation in Minnesota 2 years ago with the second down field goal, he came in on Monday with like a 9-minute introduction explaining himself right away. So, and Fox is just not going to do that. He's just not going to do that. But let's move on to Bears-Packers Thursday night, and the biggest news, Ed Hockley's the referee.
You know, you guys have to realize, I don't know if – look, Adam Hoge loves his officiating, loves it, absolutely loves it. I don't know how he's still here. I'm surprised he didn't break his computer or go berserk after watching the Monday night game, with the Patriots, and how, blatantly, obviously bad, and, the officials were in that game. But, guys, Adam Hoge loves to get on his officials, and Ed Hockley is his favorite.
Well, you got to love Hockley, and I wasn't upset last night because I was watching college basketball. I just can't stand the officiating, so I just turned it off, and I watched college basketball last night. But, yeah, Ed Hockley will be there Thursday night, Thanksgiving game. It's Bears and Packers and Brett Favre's retirement ceremony. Look, this has not been much of a rivalry lately. Packers have won 13 out of the last 16. And one of those games was Aaron Rodgers' three losses to the Bears. One of them was when he didn't even play for 95% of the game. Unfortunately, it still goes on his record because he started it. But different feeling today in that Bears locker room. Confidence. Pernell McPhee was not shy about what he had to say about his new rival, because he wasn't even here last year and only played them once. So let me give you a little bit of Pernell McPhee from today at Halisall Hall.
I don't really like them. They don't like us. We don't like them. So, we just going to lock our chin straps, scrap up our shoulder pads, and go to war.
Have you been to Lambeau before?
Nah, I'm so excited. Team I hate, new stadium playing in. Should be all fun on Thanksgiving. Should be fun.
All right, and this is what he said about stopping Aaron Rodgers.
Hit his ass. That's it. Just hit him. Nothing else. We just need to hit his ass. He won't be able to run then.
But you relish it, right? You didn't get Peyton last week. You were talking about wanting to go against the best.
Yeah. One thing we need to do is hit the quarterback and win the game. That's it. And go eat us some turkey dinner. Happy Thanksgiving.
And that was just – you got to love Pernell McPhee, the way he approaches things. It's turkey dinner. Hit the quarterback, turkey dinner. Oh, man, he is a treat in the locker room. I know you were standing there as McPhee made those comments today, but you just get the sense that they believe that they can win this game Thursday night.
One, it's the John Fox impact. I think. It's just clear. They just feel more confident in what they're doing. And yes, that applies to Vic Fangio on defense and Adam Gase on offense. But there's a swagger to this team. I mean, they know they're in games. They know they're close. They know they've had injuries, and they know that they're still learning what Gase and Fangio want them to do. They're still coming together. They're still developing chemistry amongst themselves. And that's not an overrated factor if you talk to these players. You know, like defensive linemen have to learn how to, you know, to get a feel for each other and their pass rush moves. I mean, Jared Allen would go at length talking about it in the past. But the swagger of this defense and you know, Pernell McPhee really exudes it. You know, but other players have it as well. Even like a Shea McClellan has it a bit now. There's a new edge to this defense. And after last year, I mean, 55-14. I mean, the Packers pummeled them, pounded them, any word you want to use. It was ugly from the beginning. It was embarrassing. That's what Matt Forte called it today. That's on their minds a bit as they go into this week.
Well, it is. And for a guy who hardly ever says anything, Alshon Jeffrey, maybe the strongest comments he's ever made regarding an opponent today inside Hallis Hall. This is what he said about last year's game and sort of how it translates to this week.
I felt like it was disrespectful how they put up points, but at the same time, it's our job to stop them. So, I mean, I guarantee it's going to be a different outcome this time.
All right, so I have a little bit of an issue here because to be calling it disrespectful what the Packers did to the Bears last year, I don't even think the Packers were really trying that hard. I mean, I'm serious. That was one of the worst performances I've ever witnessed in an NFL football game in terms of effort, in terms of really following what your coaches were calling. I mean, that was the game. That was the moment. That first half in Green Bay last year was when the Bears started to quit on their coaching staff. And I think it started mostly on defense in that game. But Aaron Rodgers picked them apart, and I don't even think he tried that hard. So I don't think it's disrespectful. I don't think the Packers were trying to run up the score. But at the same time, it's fine if that's motivating you. And then the last part of what Alshon Jeffrey just said, I mean, it's almost like he's guaranteeing a win this year. He didn't say that directly, but he says he guarantees there's going to be a different outcome.
Pernell McPhee made similar comments, you know, using the word outcome. So maybe there's a message they're not completely sharing with us that they're getting from their coaches. Yeah, that game was laughable. I mean, with every possession, every touchdown that they scored, I mean, we were there. It became a running joke because it was you couldn't believe your eyes. I mean, they were so bad that night, just so overmatched in so many different qualities, whether it's, you know, intangible ones you can't measure like heart and preparation and stuff like that to the on-field talent. It just wasn't a fair fight. I kind of get maybe what he's trying to say, Alshon Jeffrey, when it's disrespectful. You know what I mean? Like, Aaron Rodgers is a guy who puts that pedal to the floor. I mean, if he smells blood, he's like a shark, and he's going to kill you. I mean, he's going to eat you up and spit you out, and that's what the Packers did to the Bears that night. I mean, that's what really started to spell the end for the Mark Trestman era. I mean, that was a grand embarrassment for the entire organization, and that's when, you know, the big guys – up top, and the Bears brass members, George McCaskey, Ted Phillips, where they really started to ponder change for this organization because they saw how far they were away from the Green Bay Packers.
Well, remember what George said, that Virginia was pissed off.
Yeah.
And I imagine that was the moment where she was pissed off, sitting there watching her Bears just get pummeled by their rival up north in Green Bay. And so, and you know what, let me clarify. I shouldn't say that Aaron Rodgers wasn't trying. I should say that he didn't have to try that hard. Because you're right, he never lets up, and he'll, like you said, he smells blood, he's going to take advantage of it. But the point was, is with those coverages, with the effort the Bears were giving, it didn't take much for Aaron Rodgers to pick apart the Bears. 6 touchdowns in that game. Here's what amazes me. In his last 3 games against the Bears, he has 13 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. 13 touchdowns in 3 games and not a single pick. You have to go back to that Week 17 game 2 years ago, that de facto NFC North Division title game that the Bears lost for the last time he threw an interception against the Bears. He threw 2 in that game. He also threw 2 touchdowns and overall played pretty well.
I think it was Chris Conney who had one of those too. The old Birdman, who was actually playing pretty well down for the Buccaneers. But Fangio's defense is different. Number one, they're not going to sit back and play cover two and let the most accurate passer in league history pick you apart. I mean, they'll throw different things at him. They threw all sorts of different things at Brock Osweiler. To me, look, of course Aaron Rodgers is key, but you can't let Eddie Lacy get going. I mean, Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson had a field day, and that really opened up things for Brock Osweiler down the field. You got to make a commitment to stopping, and it's harder because Aaron Rodgers is so good, and he has better receivers. You have to stop Eddie Lacy, though. If he gets going, I mean, you're looking at another long night for the Bears at Lambeau Field.
All right, let's get into this thing here.
Bold predictions.
You were on a little streak here. I don't think you got yours last week. I'm forgetting what it was, though.
It was 300 yards passing and two touchdowns, I think, for Jay Cutler against the Broncos. I think he had, 270 yards passing. But, obviously they scored 15 points. Wasn't good enough. So my bold prediction, the Bears win. I mean, that's just bold to begin with.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think anybody's picking the Bears. I don't think you're picking the Bears. No one in my paper is picking the Bears. Somebody's got to be the contrarian. And I'm just – maybe it's a gut feel. Maybe it's just knowing how close they were against the Broncos. And I think you're going to have Alshon Jeffrey back. You're going to have Matt Forte back. Pernell McPhee is feeling better. I don't think he'll be as limited. So having those three players to begin with is a good start to believe in the Bears. And, look, I know what the Packers did against the Vikings this past week. I saw that. But the games before that, they weren't too good. Even Aaron Rodgers against the Vikings, you look at his numbers, he wasn't that good. They're not playing like the Green Bay Packers people are expecting to see. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has struggled this past month, and I think that could continue if a guy like Pernell McPhee puts him on his ass as he promised to do today.
Yeah, he did. Look, let me start with my bold prediction. They're going to pick off Aaron Rodgers. And that's sad that just one interception is such a bold prediction, but it is.
Yeah, give me a name.
Oh, okay. I've been saying Tracy Porter's been due for a while. The problem is they don't throw at him anymore because he's playing so well. I'll say the rookie Adrian Amos gets one. Okay, so that's my bold prediction, but you gave your prediction already. Let me get mine.
Predictions.
I want to pick the Bears so badly because, and this is just like a few weeks ago when I wanted to pick the Lions against the Bears, and I just couldn't bring myself to do it because all logic said that the Bears would actually. I think the way I put it was reluctantly picking the Bears to beat the Lions in Detroit, and sure enough, they lost. That's kind of how I feel about this game, but the opposite. I'm very, very reluctantly picking the Packers to win, and my only reasoning is it's Aaron Rodgers and his record against the Bears, and it's just not smart to pick against them in the situation. Otherwise, everything you just said, I agree with, and I think that there is a message inside this building. I think the fact that Alshon Jeffrey and Matt Forte did not play Sunday when I think they could have, because they want to make sure they're ready for this game. I think that's a factor. I think getting them back is a factor. Pernell McPhee seems to be healthier. They're not going to have Antrell Roll. That hurts. It looks like it's going to be Chris Pruszynski. Talk about smelling blood in the water. That would concern me if I'm the Bears coaching staff. But you know what? Vic Fangio has actually done a decent job of being able to hide his safeties at times this year and not let them get picked apart. So he'll have some kind of answer there. Maybe you could even talk me into this by the end of it, because I really look at this, and honestly, I think the Brett Favre thing's a factor. I mean, not that the players are really going to be standing there and watching the ceremony or anything like that, but you talk about games sometimes when there's banners being raised or extra hoopla around the game. Oftentimes, the road team comes in there and wins.
Here's another thing for you to consider. Broncos defense, very good. Elite. Best in the league. The Packers, not so much. I mean, and look at the Bears moved the ball in the Broncos. They got into the red zone. Yes, they get help from some penalties, but, you know, that's this NFL nowadays. It's an offensive league. They're going to have Alshon Jeffrey back this week. There'll be no more T.J. Ward loading the box and acting like a linebacker, hitting guys and knocking them out with, you know, helmet-to-helmet hits. He won't be around the box that much. Matt Forte and Jeremy Langford, you can have them on the field at the same time. They did it earlier in the year. But now Langford knows what he's doing in this offense. He knows his place, his responsibilities. He's not bad in pass pro. You have two viable options there in the backfield, one who could be a receiver, one who could be a blocker, and you don't know who. You can get some mismatches that way. So the way Cutler moved the ball, minus Forte, minus Jeffrey, throw in the Josh Bellamy, throw in the Marquise Wilson, buying time in the pocket, that can all happen again, but now you got better people to throw the ball to. So we'll see how that plays out. But again, the Broncos defense, elite. The Packers, not so much.
Yeah, I think you say that about the Bears defense too, and the Packers offense is better. I get it. Let me ask you this. Do you think, and I think this is a fair question this week, do you think Jay Cutler having his daughter has any impact on this game whatsoever? I mean, you and I both know what it's like to have kids, and it's crazy. And this is not his first kid. He knows how it goes, but it is the first time it's in the middle of the season, and it's on a short week. And they're trying to cram as much as they can, and I'm sure Adam Gase, one thing I've given him credit for all season is the wrinkles and the specific game plans he's had specifically early in each game have been very creative, a lot of differences, and you need your quarterback to understand all of that. And Jay Smart, my guess is he'll have it down, but I think it's a fair thing to bring up on a short week.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we met him today about 4 minutes just underneath that, probably his shortest media press conference that he's had this year.
A little cranky to me. Maybe not cranky, but tired, and it's all fair, but he seemed a little not as joyful as he's been with us for most of the year.
I think a lot of at least the crankiness, I mean, again, he's had his baby, so he may not have slept a lot the past couple days. You know, even if he's not at the hospital, he's got the other two sons to take care of at home. I'm sure some in-laws or whatnot, you know, some family members are around to help him. But I'm sure he's, what did he say, that Kristen did 99% of things and he was doing 1%. I'm sure he did a little bit more just because of the other kids. I think he was implying the whole pregnancy thing. Look, I get that. In the past, he's been testy about Green Bay weeks, though. You know, I remember it was a couple years ago, Trestman's first year, where he kind of gave it back to me, you know, when I asked about the Packers comparing to the 3-4 defense of the Steelers. I know every 3-4 defense isn't the same, but I just wanted to see how they compared, and he gave me a snarky answer. And he was playing pretty well back then. So I think he knows his record against the Packers, and I know this is for a guy who's got some blemishes on his, you know, resume here. This is the biggest one. I mean, this one stands out. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is praised from here to no end. I mean, he was asked how great he was, you know, in his press conference today. You know, it's hard to compliment the guy you're facing, you know, twice a year and, you know, have it beaten. So I understand his sour points, and he has a history, I think, of being a bit cranky once it becomes Packers week.
Plus, Mark Potash was asking most of the questions, so that probably got him cranky, too. There's our obligatory Potsy reference for the week. We always have it. All right, so screw it. I'll just pick the Bears.
Wow.
Screw it. I really – my gut's telling me they're going to win this game. It is. My gut is telling me that John Fox and this team has been kind of eyeing this thing. They played the Broncos pretty well. You're right about the defense. I think they're going to be able to move the ball a little bit more. I'm going to pick the Bears.
That was a very convincing argument. I'm going to pat myself on the back right now.
All right, let's get out of here with answering some of your questions that we solicit on Twitter every week. And not surprisingly, with Forte coming back, it's a Forte Langford question. And the question is from @VicBear23. Do you think the Bears will keep Forte and Langford in 2016?
I wouldn't rule it out. Was it last week where Forte, I mean, he didn't suggest it, but he seemed open to the idea of working with the kid? I mean, and they get along. I mean, this isn't like some sour relationship where the veteran's looking over at the young rookie who's, you know, stealing his spot. I mean, they joke around with each other pretty openly in the locker room. The same could be said about Alshon Jeffrey and Kevin White, people think their situations are linked. I think the Bears want them both on this team as well. I mean, they got a good relationship, you know, just like Forte and Langford seem to have a good relationship. I like to see what they could do with both of them on the field, you know, over this last few weeks starting, you know, in Green Bay, because I think they could be really explosive. I mean, Jeremy Langford, people forget, was a receiver at some point at Michigan State. We all know how good a receiver Matt Forte is. So you could have something pretty dynamic for Adam Gase to use over the last several weeks here.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out either. And I go back to an interview that Matt Forte did back in the spring after the whole Brian Piccolo controversy where he didn't show up to Hallis Hall for that. And he said that, you know, he's not looking to break the bank with his contract. He would like to stay in Chicago. Now, also, I'm sure, it's always about the money in some ways with every athlete, no matter how many times they say it's not. But do I think he would take less to stay in Chicago and finish his career here? I do. The question is that still too much for the other needs that this regime wants to figure out and figure out in a hurry? Is Kadeem Carey a good enough 1-2 punch with Jeremy Langford? If they think he is, and I think Carey's looked pretty good. Now he has a concussion, so I don't know if he'll play this week on a short week. But and even if Matt Forte's back, that might be a moot point. Then if they think those two guys are fine, and they are, that kind of seems to be more of the standard talent of running backs John Fox has had in terms of a 1-2 punch. So I still wonder if Matt Forte will be back, but I wouldn't rule it out either. Here's another question from at Chris Armstrong 1. It seems that the wide receivers are not improving. Is that a talent issue, injuries, Mike Groh, the wide receivers coach, or a combo platter? Probably a combo platter. I wouldn't put it on Groh, though. In fact, it's funny. You and I were having a conversation during practice today, and I just asked you off a whim, hey, if for some reason Adam Gase leaves, you think the Bears would just promote Groh? And I think it's a possibility. I mean, I think they think very highly of him. So I don't think the wide receivers' problems are his fault. I think mainly it's a talent issue. These guys have ceilings. And with the injuries, that's been more towards Alshon Jeffrey and Kevin White and Eddie Royal. But that's certainly been a factor too. You're asking a lot of guys to do more than what they're probably capable of.
Yeah, I think the one guy you're kind of looking at to be more in that developmental stage and still learning how to play the position is probably Cameron Meredith, the undrafted kid out of Illinois State, local kid who's only played receiver for a couple of years. He has good size, decent speed, and really good hands. But Marquise Wilson, I know some people have labeled him a disappointment, but like he's a very nice receiver if he's your number three receiver or number four. You know, Josh Bellamy has made an impact more of as a special teamer, as the gunner on the punt team and stuff like that. He has to if he's going to be the Bears' number four receiver. Mark Mariani is a kick returner. He blocks pretty well when he's a receiver in certain packages. But, look, it's just your two best players, Alshon Jeffrey and Kevin White, at the position just haven't been healthy. One hasn't been healthy all year, and one has missed five games because he's dealing with various things. So I don't know if you want to question Groh's expertise. I think he's a very good coach. You learn how to work with Brandon Marshall. I mean, that's something in itself that's special. But, look, I think they've been fine, and it's just a matter, like you said, their talent level.
All right, and last question from at Ray Hollings. Chances of making the playoffs is decreasing. Should the Bears give David Fales a full game to play to evaluate him? No. You know, that was a storyline this week, though, that we haven't talked about yet, is the Bears letting Jimmy Clausen go to keep David Fales. It says a lot about what they think about him. I think it's also a no-brainer decision. You saw what Jimmy Clausen has been and is currently in that Seattle game earlier this year. And I said at the time, and I wrote it, that if Jay Cutler wasn't able to come back week four against the Raiders, I would start David Fales over Clausen. I think that yesterday with what happened with, I guess, the Ravens and the 49ers came after David Fales off the practice squad. The Bears decided to promote him and just let Jimmy Clausen go. I think that is kind of an indication that they were probably thinking the same thing if Cutler did not play in that Week 4 game.
Who signed Jimmy Clausen? But Mark Trestman and the Ravens. So, of course, you're going to take the kid. I mean, you have to take the kid. The kid played pretty well against the Browns in the preseason, and that was kind of all, you know, he got. But to the original question, no, no. Unless Jay Cutler can't play, no, no. I mean, why would you? I get what you're trying to say. Is David Fales a long-term answer at quarterback for the Bears? Look, I don't know. I mean, maybe we do have to see him, but the Bears are committed to Jay Cutler at this point.
And I think the word on Fales from the very beginning, and I don't think it's changed, is that the ceiling is to be a good backup. And that's a valuable position. And it shows you that by them letting Jimmy Clausen go, they believe that he could step in and maybe keep you in a game and potentially win it. But I don't think they view him as a possible Jay Cutler successor. I think that if they're going down that road, it's somewhere else in the draft. Look, even Phil Emery, who would praise every single practice squad guy he brought in, was very honest with David Fales' ceiling. He called him a backup too. So I think that's something to keep in mind. And the Bears are trying to make their overall product better. Not you don't just take Jay Cutler out of a game because that holds you back in so many other areas. All right, well, we got to a lot today on a short week, and this game on Thursday night should be fun. Fun for everybody that gets to watch on Thanksgiving evening, not really for us that we have to be there, but it's okay. It's Bears-Packers at Hockey League Referee. Just remember that. Get excited about it. Be thankful for it. It's a Thanksgiving miracle. All right, Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here. Thanks for joining Intentional Grounding. Again, follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns, WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Search Intentional Grounding on iTunes. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast there. It'll pop up in your feed automatically. And we're on SoundCloud at SoundCloud.com/WGNRadio Sports. Thanks to our producer, Mike Jacobson. We'll talk to you next week.